Well, good morning, everyone. I greet you all in the precious name of our Savior Jesus, and I'm really thankful that we can be here again this morning and worship in this way. I had a thought in my heart here. It's been in my heart for some time, and I actually have a sort of a variety of thoughts, but the overall theme, I'd like to title it, Time is Running Out. And so I've had this thought in my heart for some time, so I finally did a study on this, and I looked up what is time? What is time? And I discovered that that is really a big subject in the world. A lot of, in the religious and scientific, and all these different areas and different fields, just the time. I'll just give you the definition of in Wikipedia what time is. Just a short version of it. Time is the indefinite continued progress of existence and events that occur in an apparently irreversible succession from the past through the present into the future. It is a component quantity of various measurements used to sequence events, to compare the duration of events or the intervals between them, and to quantify rates of change or of quantities in material reality or in the conscious experience. Time is often referred to as a fourth dimension, along with three spatial dimensions. I'm lost in it, but that's the definition of time. When did time start? I looked it up, and the general consensus would be in Genesis 1, chapter 1, verse 5. And God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And most people would agree that that's where time began. When will time stop? We find in Revelations chapter 10, verse 6. And swear by Him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. So at that time, I guess time will stop and time will be no more. And I did some studying and the things that I've come across, there's a time for everything. I don't want to take too much time. I'd like to read that verse, but maybe we'll get in a little later. God started the time, and time is going to run out someday. We are important to God in the time that we live, that we are very important to God. And we need to tell the people around us that time is getting short. And we've been hearing this for years, but I feel like in my heart, I could feel like with the things that are happening, it really is getting short. And we are. Time is mercy. Time is grace. Time is service. And time is everything. And if you are not part of God's church today, and you're not repentant and confessed, time is running out. If waiting too long sometimes can bring the horrible cry, too late. We don't want to hear that. Too late. We've got time. Today is a day of salvation, and let's not wait to do it. It's too late. And God gives us time as a gift. God gives us time as a gift. And every one of us, when we are born, God gives us an allotment of time in which we have to live. Some have a little more, some have a little less, but He gives us an allotment of time. None of us know what that allotment is. We just have to use it wisely. And time, another fact about time, it only goes forward. It goes one direction. You cannot rewind it. It only goes one direction. It only goes forward. And when we are really, really busy, time goes really fast. And when we're waiting on something to happen, something, whatever it may be, it seems like time goes slow, but in all honesty, it goes the same speed at all times. I'm sure of that. But so, I'd like to share some thoughts too, now that we got time, even though I have a little bit of understanding what time is. I'd like to share just a few. Most of you have heard my testimony, what I experienced in the hospital. But I'd like to just share a few thoughts again. I had gotten sick, and I was buying NyQuil, and I thought I'm going to beat this thing, and this will be over here soon. But I never dreamt that it dawned on me what I might have. And then I found myself in the hospital, in intensive care, and I truly thought my time had run out. I talked to some of you on the phone. I'd like to read something to you. On my second day in the hospital, I wrote a letter to this congregation. I thought it was a farewell letter. Praise the Lord, it wasn't. But I'd like to read it to you. I wrote this April 22nd at 2 a.m. in the morning. To all the dear brothers and sisters at Burn Christian Fellowship, I'm writing this letter from my hospital bed at a very challenging time in my life. I truly do not know what is going to happen to me. Right now it looks promising, but they have been losing people of all ages and degrees of health. I fully surrender myself into God's hands and trust Him. He knows best and doesn't make any mistakes. I am praying that this is not the end of the trail for me, but if that is God's will, I can accept that. I really enjoyed being a member of your fellowship on all these years and appreciate all the friendships. If I have ever offended anyone unknowingly, I plead for your forgiveness. If God's plan is to take me home at this time, please watch over my family for me. Hope to see all of you again soon. God bless. I had no way of knowing, but when I wrote that, I didn't know if I was going to be here in the morning or if I was going to be in eternity. And that's challenging. We need to make so we are ready for that. We need to live our lives in such a way. I heard a man preach a message one day. He said, we need to live our lives in such a way that all of our affairs and all of our paperwork, everything about our lives is in order at all times. As we're out and about one day and God calls our name, all we have to do is just go. We don't have to run home and tell my wife sorry. We can just go. I'm talking to myself. I need to hear that too. And
after I wrote that letter, the next one of the things that happened to me, the Bible says, you know, he who is not willing to leave all behind, his wife, children, everything he has, is not worth going into heaven. I discovered I had apparently a little bit of selfishness in my heart. I wanted to live. For the first 2 days, I prayed fervently to God to help me. Please help me. Please help me. Help me with this oxygen. And then on the third day, I changed my prayer to surrender. And I told God, I said, Lord, if it's your will, that my time is at hand and you want to take me home, I can accept that. The first 2 days, I couldn't say that. I should have been able to say that, but I couldn't. But the third day, about noon, I was able to surrender. And I told God, I said, if it's your will that you want to take me home, I can accept that, and you know best. And if that's what's best for me and my family, I can accept that, Lord. But then I said, but Lord, if you would decide to give me my life back and let me live, I promise you I'll be a servant for you the rest of my days. Whatever you want from me, whatever you ask me, wherever you want me to go, I'll do my best. And here I am. So I have God chose to give me another chance, so I pray that I can keep my commitment to Him. I know I'm just human, and I love sharing with people, and I love the idea. I love the thought of planting seeds. You all know that. I love the thought of planting seeds. I love to think about for God and His glory for the other people. And on that note, I heard a story here the other day. I heard a man, I shared this with some of you people. It was a story of a man. It was a minister. He was out traveling in the country. And he ran across somewhere on one of his stops. I think it was a big orchard or something somewhere. And he ran it. He went in and he seen an older gentleman out there in the garden, a big orchard, something like that. He was planting seeds. This minister walked up to this man, and this man really had long rows, and he was really down on his knees. He was really planting seeds. He was a 75-year-old man. And this minister asked him, "What are you doing, sir?" He said, "I'm planting flowers." "Well, what kind of flowers are you planting?" And this gentleman that was planting the seeds, he said, he named the type of flower. I don't have the name of the flower, but the flower that he was planting will not bloom for 25 years. So he's 75 years old, and he knew very well that he would very likely will not see the beauty of these flowers in 25 years when they bloom, but somebody else will. And he was very, very unselfishly dedicating a lot of effort and a lot of his time planting something for somebody else's, the next generation's enjoyment. That's what I like to do. For God, sometimes it seems like you talk and you talk and nothing happens. Nothing happens, but we got to plant the thought, share the gospel, and then just pray that God, that something will start growing, and God can give the increase. And then at least we did our part. And I was thinking about some things here. If the way God likes to help people find the Lord and get converted is if we share with other people that be an example of being a light, and we have to be willing to share with them. And if each one of us in this room here would reach out during our lifetime and only help five souls get converted, I mean help them get convicted and come to the Lord. And then them five people, each one of them five people would tell five more people. Then them five more people tell five more people. But pretty soon it comes to a lot of people. And and even if it's just one soul, our life, that we help get encouraged. It's worth everything. And I have a little story here I'd like to read. This is a minister. He had a worldly friend. He was a lawyer, a very worldly man. And this minister was really concerned about this lawyer's standing with the Lord, and he knew he wasn't right with God. And he kept encouraging him to come to church. He pleaded with him to come to church. And in this church that this minister was in, they had a little boy. He's about 15 years old. He had Down syndrome. And what this little boy would like to say, everywhere, this is always on his heart. He'd walk up to everyone that he'd meet. He would say, "You love Jesus? You're going to heaven? You love Jesus? You're going to heaven?" Everybody he'd walk up to, that's what he would ask him. "If you love Jesus, are you going to heaven?" Well, this minister kept inviting this lawyer. One night he came to church. He decided, "Okay, I'll come to church." And he came to the church, And this preacher, he thought, God gave him this opportunity, so he just preached his heart out. And he preached everything that he thought that God could give him, he could think of to say. Then he gave an altar call, and that lawyer got up and started walking towards the door. And the preacher was sort of disheartened, but this young Down syndrome boy walked across the room and talked to that man just a few minutes. Then the man went out the door. And at 11 o'clock that night, the preacher was at home in bed sleeping, and he got a phone call. That same night, it was that lawyer. He was crying. He wanted to meet the preacher. He said, I'm done. I'm ready. I want to surrender. So they got together and they met. And then he was confessing. And then when he got done, he was confessed. And then the preacher asked him, he said, what was it that I said that convicted you that you was actually did this tonight? Praise the Lord. He said, well, no offense, preacher, but it wasn't anything that you said. It was that young boy. He came up to me and he just said in simple words, do you love Jesus? Are you going to heaven? He says, I went home and I couldn't, the words just went through my mind and wouldn't go away and I couldn't give it up. So he started to praise the Lord, and I just thought that sort of blessed my heart. I have one more little poem that I'd like to read here, and it sort of pertains to time. It's just a poem about being too busy. Too busy to read a chapter a day. Too busy, yes, much too busy to pray. Too busy to think of our past in this whirlwind of life we know won't last. Too busy to speak a word of cheer to the heartbroken friend who stands so near. Too busy to help him lift his heavy load that he's trying to carry on life's rough road. Too busy gathering in dollars and dimes for the worthwhile things we haven't time. The devil keeps whispering, hurry, grab your share, why waste so many hours in prayer? Too busy to hear the orphan's cry, and with a glance we hurry by. Someday we too will lift our voices to the sky, for not one of us is too busy to die. Perhaps when we reach that pearly white throne, God will be too busy to call us His own. So let us calm down to a slower pace, to be ready to meet Jesus face to face. I just want to read one more thing here in Ecclesiastes 3. There is a time to everything, there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rent and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. And a time of war and a time of peace. And then here's one more I want to read in Romans chapter 13, verse 11. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than we believe. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. That's about all I've got this morning. I just would just encourage everyone to let's use our time wisely. And I had never thought of it before, but we only have a certain amount of time to live, and God gives us an allotted amount of time. And none of us know when that's going to run out. And it could be one of us in here today, maybe won't make it on a journey home. We won't make it home. It could really easily happen. We have to, and we don't. And when we die, that's it. And there's no second chances. When we meet that God on that white throne and we stand before Him, He's not going to accept. I don't think He's going to accept many excuses if we're not doing it. We know what he wants us to do. We have time here on earth to do His will. And it's just sad to see so many people go on the other way. It's just really. So I would encourage us. Let's reach out. Let's try to be light to these people, and let's try to do whatever we can in a humble, godly way, to try to reach out to these people and share the gospel with them. And I feel like we should do it repeatedly. When the time, we need to feel led to do it. Not we don't want to make them mad, but if they reject it numerous times, let's continue on. I'm thankful that was the case in my case. The people that was working with me in my life didn't give up. They spent 10 years, 10 years, encouraging me. Praise the Lord. So thankful they didn't give up after 9.5 years. They went 10 years, and I'm just so thankful that God sent these people in my path. And I just very blessed to be here and be part of this congregation. Well, God bless you all, and thank you for listening.